This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today I'm in the studio with
Frida Liu
and Jeff Sandu.
We are discussing all about apps today. Yesterday, what did we speak about? Oh, crazy food trends of 2019. Can you believe that we're still getting tweets and messages via Instagram for that?
It's about the avocados, isn't it?
It's not about the avocados. It's about the boba tea. A lot of stuff coming through still from the boba tea. Today, though, we are shifting, of course, to some of the most used apps of 2019. It's Jeff's story. He's going to take the lead on that a little bit later on. Of course, we all have our favorites, which we will be discussing very shortly. We're asking you, though, what has been your most used app of 2019? Let us know. No judging here, ladies and gentlemen. No judging. 018-789-8899 via WhatsApp, Twitter, and Instagram, of course. We're at BFM Radio. That's the lead story. We're then moving on to a story about an app that actually buys your clothes back. That's something we'll be discussing a little bit later. And then Frida is wrapping up with myths about your brain.
Some were really surprising for me too.
There you go. Mr. Sandu, take it away.
Interestingly, you're saying in yesterday's story there were people still talking about bubble tea and stuff, right? Because I just want to plug in today. We're doing a series of Wisdom from the Wonders. Now, these are entrepreneurs that kind of started their journey in 2010. Today's episode, which is episode 2, features Brian Liu of Loop Holdings. And, the podcast is out. It's available on the website, the app, or even on Spotify. You just have to search for Open for Business and you'll find it there. So going back to our story for today, the go-to apps, right? So this is according to App Annie. Now, App Annie is the most trusted app data and actionable insights that you can get. It's actually the standard in apps analytics and the app market data. That gives you, I guess, an understanding of the market itself on the downloads, how many people retain, the amount of money that's spent in individual apps and different apps and stuff, right? So they came out with their report, and the top three spots in the App Annie's 2019 ranking of consumer spending on non-gaming apps is Tinder, Netflix, and Tencent Holdings.
Wow. Interesting. More than WhatsApp.
Yeah, so this is interesting because it kind of underlines the growing importance of subscription services for generating revenue. So games offering in-app purchases of virtual currencies and upgrades, they are commonly known as microtransactions. They continue to basically lead the overall rankings. Video subscriptions is dominating the rest of the field. Even before the likes of Disney Plus and Apple TV Plus just recently, took off, Baidu's iQIYI and Google's YouTube, Alibaba's Group Holdings Youku, they all ranked in the top 10 apps by revenue. And this is in a year where App Annie said the total number of new apps download and consumer spending will both break the record. In the best app for the iPhone, actually Apple also released a report just recently, and the best app for iPhone is Spectre, which is a photography app. And it's interesting to see because Tinder's leading position, some would say it's a surprise, but App Annie says it shouldn't be a surprise because dating apps of its kind have unlocked the key to monetization through subscriptions. And their combined annual revenue has grown 920% between 2014 and 2019. They're exceeding $2.2 billion in the current year. Facebook is, of course, retaining its historic lead on the overall app downloads, with the top three most downloaded apps remain is Facebook Messenger, Facebook themselves, and WhatsApp. This is the sixth year in a row. And interesting, Facebook also launched their Facebook dating service in September. So, come the year in 2020, I guess we will see how does Facebook dating rank in the number of apps and revenue, right?
Yeah.
Creepy, of course, yeah. By the close of 2019, which is just a few weeks away, App Annie said consumers will have downloaded 120 billion new apps across Apple's iOS App Store and Google's Play Store. That's without factoring the app updates that you normally get, reinstallations of existing apps, or Android installs done via the unofficial means, right? So that's just a staggering number of people downloading apps by the end of this year. 120 billion new apps across both platforms, right?
Yeah, I'm just looking at, you know, if you look at the graphic on our Twitter account, I'm just looking at it and I don't recognize some of them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and maybe it's just the visual effect, but like
some of those are from Chinese companies.
Ah,
some of those are from Spanish companies, Spanish language companies.
Right.
But the one in the top middle, do you recognize that one? It would have been Musical.ly, and it is now TikTok.
Oh, yes, yeah, yes. It is huge.
It's huge. Yeah, TikTok, and here's the thing. There was a story, was it earlier this week or last week? And I felt a blow from this, Frida. I felt a blow. And it was the basic headline was, if you are above the age of 30, TikTok is not for you. And I'm like, you can't do that.
And so, then you downloaded it.
I did, and then I went, nope, not for me.
Yeah, and you know it's not for, even, it's not for me as well. And the average age of TikTok users is actually between 16 and 24. This is according to Global Web Index. Now, this is a global phenomenon. It's massive. It's a global phenomenon, but it shows just how innovative and adaptive these kind of Chinese startups have become in the tech space. Just some numbers for TikTok. They have reached 500 million monthly active users in the second half of this year. That's more than Twitter and more than Snapchat. And at the rate of TikTok is going, it may even surpass Twitter and Snapchat's monthly actives combined in the year 2020. That's a lot, right? So TikTok, they even hit a record smashing 1.5 billion downloads in total as of November. This is according to another market intel firm called Sensor Tower. So far this year, TikTok has reported 614 million fresh downloads. It's up 6%. The app has surpassed the 1 billion threshold in February earlier this year. Now, the number one fans actually come from India. China comes in second, and US is followed very closely in third. At one point in 2019, TikTok actually became the most downloaded app in the Apple App Store, beating YouTube. Mm-hmm. And people spend an average of 52 minutes on the app each day. 9 out of 10 users are either making TikTok videos or watching them multiple times in a day. ByteDance, which is the creator of TikTok, says that 90% of all users on the app use it more than once daily. Like YouTubers, TikTokers are also making money. Over 1 billion videos are viewed every day. That's the TikTok phenomenon.
Once you start watching some of these videos, it's a black hole, Frida.
Okay.
I watch it on Twitter.
Yeah, right.
Whenever it goes viral, then it will, you know.
But I think I would just download it for a bit to see why, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And to understand the psyche.
Let me know how that goes.
I've tried it.
Because I'm thinking, like, if you want to market to different people, right?
You have to understand.
You don't have to love it. But,
correct. And this is the thing. A lot of the kind of bigger influencers out there, your Gary V's of the world and whatever, he's really pushing TikTok as, like, you know, he's saying, this is the next big thing. And he's been saying this almost from day one. And he's right.
And he's going to share.
I'm sure he probably has. But if you watch it, it definitely has a very specific market. You know, there's no doubt about
downloading
it.
As we speak.
So what about you, Rich? What has been your, like, go-to app or something that you noticed you've done this year that you haven't done in years before?
I've used a lot of gaming apps this year, actually, which is something that...
How's that different from last year?
Well, this is the thing. On my phone, I've never really had any games on my phone up until this year. And, of course, I upgraded my phone from an iPhone to a Samsung. And I say upgrade and I mean it. And I should have done it earlier. But it's the first time that I've actually downloaded a game on my phone and felt as though it was something that I could spend time playing, you know, wasting time with, you know, because it works very, very well.
Frida, what about you? What's your go-to app?
Other than WhatsApp, right? Mm-hmm. My two favorite games, Bejeweled and Words with Friends.
So gaming, on the gaming front, Free Fire, according to App Annie, is the app that has been minted. Already 2 billionaires are making money from this. They've garnered the most global downloads. Now, Free Fire is very similar to Tencent's PUBG Mobile, which is followed very closely in second place. Call of Duty Mobile, another Tencent property, also made it into the top 10 this year despite only being released in October or early November. Candy Crush is also in the list. Now, all of these games, if you realize, all of these games, and Candy Crush has been around for a long time, but it's still there. It's still ranking in the money as well, right? all of these games are free to play. They derive their massive revenues from the small purchases of the in-game perks and upgrades. Hmm. For the breakout hits of the year, App Annie highlighted Likey, which is by YY Inc., which is an app for sharing short videos. It's very similar to TikTok as one of the largest absolute growth in downloads during the year. Two more apps by the same company were in the top four. Noize, that is N-O-I-Z-Z for editing video, and also Hago for social gaming. And of course, you know, the social gaming is being a lot of popular with the young users in places like Indonesia.
I'm sure in just a moment after the break, I'd like to find out what about fitness apps?
Mm-hmm.
Whether there's any story around that.
We will find out.
We'll find out in just a few minutes. Music coming up next from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs with Sacrilege when we are coming back. Of course, more discussions about the most used apps of 2019. Let us know what yours are. 018-789-8899 via WhatsApp, Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. BFM 89.9.
Balanced Frank Medium, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Jeff Sandu.
Frida Liu.
We are asking about what's your go-to app of 2019. We've asked for some feedback. 018-789-8899 via the WhatsApp, Twitter and Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. Where are we going first?
Twitter. So at Memorang Laut, he says Reddit and Firefox. And I think, Rich, you agree with the Reddit.
Yes, I've been using Reddit quite heavily this year, actually. Mm. The official Reddit app. Some of the other ones have been good, but I've found that one to be better than most.
Mm. A very familiar Twitter handle, Arvin Yuvaraj. I wonder who he is.
Hot Yoda 97, wasn't it? His other handle.
Well, he took leave to watch Star Wars.
Yeah. So I guess it's over. I guess the movie's over or hasn't started.
No, I think he's in between his, you know, five shows a day today kind of thing. I think number one's just done, going for number two. He says Spotify by a whole mile. So.
That's, yeah, well, I can see that.
You know, it's actually interesting.
I know he likes to listen to his, you know, country and western and his musicals and his classics, you know. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
Actually, it's interesting. So, like, the apps like Spotify or even, like, Instagram, right? So, they have their sneaky ways to make them addictive, which is why you keep going back at them, right? So, for, like, Instagram, they send you dozens of push notifications each week, sometimes even daily, right? And they give you, like, oh, stories that you may be interested in stuff, right? Twitter, they use a psychological trick to lure you into, you know, the same kind of tactics that's used for in slot machines. Especially if you realize on Twitter when you go to the top and you do a pull down, you've got this slot machine type of feeling, right? And then everything changes. Facebook does the same thing as well, where, you know, it's an infinite scroll, but it's also whenever you reach to the top again and then you just do a refresh, it looks completely new, and then you feel like, oh,
what did I miss?
What did I miss? So, you know, they keep you lured
FOMO.
Yeah. The smartphone game, Two Dots, they use color to catch the user's attention. And, you know, as Arvin mentioned, Spotify, they basically repackage content that already knows, like, you know, you like this. So imagine stuff like, so we know about the daily mix one, and then, you know, you've got all the kind of other like playlists that you would create, right? But even just like recently, they come up with the, you know, 2019 playlist, songs that you've been listening to throughout the whole year, or the songs that you've been listening throughout the whole decade. And then they create,
which is wrong, by the way. Wrong.
You can't deny analytics in,
I know,
in
that, that's right? The problem, right? Yeah.
You know,
if Rihanna
so well.
Was your decade of the artist, it's, you know, Rihanna.
Somebody hijacked my Spotify account.
Actually, that's a lot of people's problem with the, you know, they don't want to share what was their artist of the decade because their Spotify ID was used by, you know, multiple different individuals, right? So then you feel, no, it doesn't really justify because, you know, my kids or, you know, my family members, they're using, you know, your Spotify account for different, like Audrey, for example, right? Her Spotify Best of the Rhymes. Artist Decade is, you know, is basically probably Nursery Rhymes.
And Peppa Pig.
And Peppa Pig, yeah. Right? But, you know, they kind of do the same thing. They repackage content that it knows you already like. They create this playlist and then they push out a notification to you. And then you go like, ooh, what's this? And then you go like, oh, I'm going to listen to these songs again, even though I've listened to them like 170,000 times in the last week. They package this very cleverly. Tinder, they turn finding love interest into like a game. So much so that, you know, if you swiping left and right has become like a, I guess, you know, a pop culture phenomenon thing where, you know, people will say it's like, I just, you know, swipe left if you don't like something, or swipe right if you like something, right? So much so that actually Tinder has put a limit onto the number of likes or right swipes that you get each free day each.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so now if you want to do more swiping left or right, especially right, you got to opt into Tinder Plus or Tinder Go. So you got to pay. That's the subscription model.
Things have changed since the last time you were on it, Rich.
Well.
Now, it's science in how these apps work. So basically, the best way for me to describe this is, so I went to Vox and they have a channel called Vox by Design. And just have a listen to this. This is a clip from the former Google design ethicist, Tristan Harris, who actually co-founded the Center of Humane Technology that raises this question on how the phones are making you so addicted. So have a listen to this.
I think we're living inside of 2 billion Truman shows, where, you know, Truman Show, you know, you wake up and everything is sort of coordinated just for you, and you usually don't even realize it. But it's coordinating just to entertain you or just to engage you.
That's Tristan Harris. He worked as Google's design ethicist, and now he runs a nonprofit initiative called Time Well Spent, advocating for awareness of how tech companies profit off of users' attention.
It's not designed to help us. It's just designed to keep us hooked.
So I handed him my phone and asked him how he'd fix it. It starts with turning off all notifications, except for when a real human is trying to reach you. When you get a call, a text, or a message, it's usually because another person wants to communicate with you. But a lot of today's apps simulate the feeling of that kind of social interaction to get you to spend more time on their platform. If Facebook sends you a push notification that a friend is interested in an event near you, they're essentially acting like a puppet master, leveraging your desire for social connection so that you use the app more. But notifications didn't always work like this. When push notifications were first introduced for email on BlackBerries in 2003, they were actually seen as a way for you to check your phone less. You could easily see emails as they came in, so you didn't have to repeatedly open your phone to refresh an inbox. But today you can get notifications from any app on your phone. So every time you check it, you get this grab bag of notifications that can make you feel a broad variety of emotions.
If it wasn't random, if it was predictably bad or predictably good, then you would not get addicted. The predictability would take out the addictiveness.
That's the same logic behind slot machines. And it's effective. Slot machines make more money in the US than baseball, movies, and theme parks combined. And they become addicting about 3 to 4 times faster than other kinds of gambling. Some apps even replicate the process of pulling a slot machine lever with the pull-to-refresh feature. That's a conscious design choice. Those apps are usually capable of continuously updating content, but the pull action provides an addicting illusion of control over that process. In the future, we might see healthier ways of delivering notifications. Research shows that bundling notifications, where phones deliver a batch of updates at set times, reduces user stress.
Ooh. Mm.
So it's clever in the sense, when you think about it, you go like, yeah, it's very true. Especially apps pretending to be puppet masters. You know, so if you get a call, you get a text, you're receiving something where someone's trying to reach out to you. That's very true. But then when an app sends you a notification saying that, hey, you know, Frida Liu is attending the same event as you are.
That's annoying.
That's the app pretending to be that intermediate puppet master, where it's like, oh, I'm going to let Richard know that Frida's attending the same event, and then you could use the app, and then, you know, you go like, oh, and then you message Frida, right? But Frida never actually wanted to send you that notification, right? So the first step to stay away, I guess to get out of being addicted to your phones, is to switch off notifications that doesn't come from a human source. So, you know, I've switched off Instagram notifications, so I only will see the notifications when I open Instagram, because I don't want to, you know, see the likes
just
coming
in. Then you end up checking, right?
Yes. Yeah, and then you get addicted to the likes. You go, oh, you know, like how many likes have I got in the next, you know, an hour or the next 10 minutes, right? Going back to Frida's question about fitness, there has been a fourfold growth within the past 3 years for the size of fitness and health app market, and it's only predicted to increase 7 times in the next 7 years. It's a global trend which concerns all mobile apps, but revenues for the health and fitness mobile apps are also thriving. They've reached about $2.1 billion in 2017, but there are research that are showing that it may even reach $14.7 billion by 2026. Some even say it might even hit $10.9 billion in a few years' time. If you look in the US, some of the top apps when it comes to health and fitness, it is Fitbit, it is Calm. Those are the free ones, and then the paid ones is a little bit more, I guess, interesting because you've got like it's sort of like this the Wonder app, and then you've got this you know, I guess this Glassify Me app as well. In iOS, it's Calm, which is the top free app, and then you still have you've got things like Auto Sleep and Heartwatch as the top paying apps. Audrey Rutsch uses Headspace. It's part of health and fitness,
the meditative kind of thing.
That's a growing trend.
Mindfulness, Frida. You see, you had to sneak your word in, didn't you?
You see, that's the word of the year.
Yes.
And last.
I can give you another word. We're going to take a short break, ladies and gents. We'll be back, of course, giving some of your suggestions of the apps that you've used a lot of this week. I can tell you one who's, who is this one? Oh, Furies, who said shop.
Oh no.
That one, yeah.
That song's going to be stuck in my head now.
It is, exactly. That's why I did it. Elvis Costello and the Attractions up next with Lip Service. When we come back, we'll be going through some of your tweets, some of your Insta messages, and of course, some of your WhatsApp. Short break. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.